grateful that we have a book that you have inspired and that you have preserved for us. And we pray that as we read and study that book, that we might be edified and grow in our knowledge of your grace. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We are continuing to talk about the distinctives of Liberty Bible Church. And the main distinctive being that of the fact that we follow Paul. In fact, we have it up here on the board, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The words of Paul. And I have to tell you that where I was first saved and where I received a lot of teaching, it was not a church that rightly divided the word, and it was not dispensational in any way that we are now. But I came to appreciate the grace of God through the teaching of the Word of God, and also the fact that there was a great appreciation of Paul the Apostle. And I brought this with me today to show you, just to give you an example. This is a commentary on the book of Romans, written by William Newell, who happened to write the hymn at Calvary. Now, I was going to ask that we do that today, but when I looked at the bulletin, I got all excited. I thought, this is great. Because think of the doctrine that's in that hymn. Absolutely amazing. But I want to read, now, William Newell was a dispensationalist, however, probably in Acts chapter 2. Dispensationalists, believing that all of it began in the second chapter of Acts. But he has an appreciation for Paul, and I wanted to read something to you that he wrote. And he's writing in his commentary, looking at the first word, which says Paul. Here's what he says. Throughout church history, to depart from Paul has been heresy. To receive Paul's gospel and hold it fast is salvation, by which gospel you are saved if you hold fast the very word I preached unto you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amazing. But he wrote that. Not the dispensational preacher and rightly dividing the word of truth as we do. But yet he understood the significance of Paul. And I was interested too in a footnote that he had. He was quoting from Matthew and John the Baptist in chapter 11. This is what Jesus Christ said about John the Baptist. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then in the book of Ephesians, and he mentions this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul wrote, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he said, you know, there was Jesus Christ saying, you know, there's no greater man than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And that's exact words that Paul the Apostle said. Another thing that he talked about in John chapter 3, these are the words of John the Baptist. John 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This it, my joy therefore is fulfilled. John the Baptist called himself a friend of the bridegroom. But then you can go to so many things. But when you go to Romans chapter 8, wrote, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." That's not a friend of the bridegroom. That's more than that. That is him dwelling inside us. And I thought, you know, that's amazing. And you know, take another look at that hymn we did at Calvary. The theology, the doctrine that's in that hymn. Absolutely amazing. Because it's everything that Paul taught us. And later we're going to look at some things that we would not know if it were not for Paul the Apostle. Several years ago, we had a conference, and one of our speakers was John Verstegen. And he said something at that conference which I've never forgotten, and I have talked about it other places, and even I talked about it at school once, and somewhat one of the teachers came to me and asked again, "Now, where was that you talked about?" Because I think it's a very powerful thing, and it has to do with the fact of why we have this distinctive of following Paul. And I want to talk about that first of all, and that's basically receiving the information. The second thing I want to talk about is a complete revelation. And the third thing is Peter's interpretation. Now, if you don't notice, I like the alliteration of things and words that sound alike. But those are the three things I want to talk about. And this first one came from John Verstegen, so I have to give him credit. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." The key that he talked about and that I thought was profound is in verse 4. "Whereby when ye read." This is how I come to understand the message, the mystery, the revelation given to Paul, is I read it. And anyone having trouble reading, get a recording of someone reading the scripture and listen, because they are reading, and there's something about the reading. And this is why I think it's important when we do a reading of the scripture, like that passage from Jeremiah chapter 36. What was it about? The writing, first of all, but then reading. What was the purpose of reading? That they might hear all the things God said that I intend to do. Maybe they'll turn. Maybe their hearts will be changed as a result of hearing it as someone reads it. And doesn't the scripture say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? So very, very important. And when John Verstegen said that, I said, you know, that's it. That's the key. And I mentioned that in a chapel at school one day, and a teacher came and asked me about it. I said, "Now, where is that?" He said, I really like that. And when you read, look at this passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, an epistle which we don't have. But Paul says, read it. You read that epistle. You read this one. It was very, very important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. He tells them that, read it. Read it to them all. If they can't read for themselves, you read it to them. Cause them to hear it. Very important because it's the Word of God. And here's why it's important. And this is the implications of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. We looked at this verse before. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Reading implies something has been written. And Paul says, if someone thinks they're spiritual, he said, then here's the test. Here's the test. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's the test. Paul wrote it. You believe they're the commandments of the Lord. And that's what makes you spiritual. That's the implication of reading. Something is as written. Now here's the second thing. That's all about receiving the information. The second thing is about the fact that it's a complete revelation. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the Word of God. Now, I want to show you something. Keep your finger there. Why don't you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts, chapter 26, verse 12. We hear the phrase, the Great Commission. A phrase which is not Bible. But I did find the word commission. And it's here. Acts 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priest. This is Paul speaking. And he's about to give the testimony of his conversion on the road to Damascus. But this commission that he had is a negative commission because he said he had authority to go and to kill believers, to round them up, those believers in Christ. So if we want to use the word commission, yeah, Paul used the word commission, but in a negative fashion. And that now has changed because, as a result of his conversion. Now he says, I'm to fulfill the word of God. He's going to complete that revelation from God. And here's why it's important. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now the debate has been going on between Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals as to the meaning of this phrase, that which is perfect. And the church where I got a lot of my teaching was sort of a quasi-Pentecostal church. And the pastor, when he would teach this passage, would practically stand on his head to show you, say, well, that which is perfect is a reference to the second coming of Christ. And it certainly is not. I believe that when you look at the whole context, everything that he's saying, the context is, it's that which is perfect is the completed revelation of the Scripture. Why did they need all of these gifts? Because it was to just confirm the things that Paul was teaching. But then when Paul was finished writing, when he completed that task, there was no need for any of those extra things. Because we now had the completed revelation. So that's why it's important. That's why we have this distinctive of following Paul the Apostle, because he's the one that finished the revelation, that completed the revelation, and the information that I needed, I have now in this book. You know, I remember these times, and thank God that some of you that were raised in this church and the understanding of rightly dividing the word of truth, you don't know this, but I can remember how many believers were looking for those spiritual believers, looking for a word. Do you have a word from God for me? Maybe God is going to tell me where I need to move, or who I need to marry, or what I need to do, or whatever. Just searching people, saying, do you have a word from God for me? We had the word from God. It's written down. All right there. On the pages. And I think back to that, and I think, you know, why didn't we understand this? That Paul's mission was to fulfill the Word of God, to complete it, and all of those other things that they had at that time, before it was complete, that those things would be gone, because we don't need those now. I have a completed book. Now the third thing is Peter's interpretation. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 14. Second Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. We have this discussion often about, well, there was Paul and his ministry and Peter and his ministry. And you know, when you read through Peter and you come to this passage, you realize, what is Peter saying to them? Let's look to Paul. And you notice the word that he used about Paul's epistles? Scriptures. He's the one that called them and acknowledged the fact that they were scriptures. And why they were important. He says, yeah, sure, some of these things are hard to be understood. But they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Don't we see that today? A lot of people resting, changing the words of Paul. And Peter here, I think, is pointing these kingdom saints to his epistle, said, Paul has that information for us. And you know, Peter could have been bitter. Because when you read in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says that He right to his face called him out to them, and was revealing the hypocrisy that was being portrayed by Peter. Peter had good reason to dislike Paul and to be bitter over it. But he wasn't, because he realized this truth. Paul has the revelation for us now. And Peter was one of those standing by when Jesus Christ told him, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Which they didn't do. They stayed in Jerusalem. And they agreed to just hand it all over to Paul. And they had this agreement. And Paul said, yeah, we'll go to the heathen. You stay with the circumcision, with those Jews. And Paul was the one that took the message out. Paul was the one that fulfilled the so-called Great Commission. Because those other disciples, those other apostles, they didn't do it. Now in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I want you to look at one verse and then we're going to go back and get the context of this. 2 Timothy has been said to be the last book of the New Testament that was written. I don't know if that's true. There's no verse, there's nothing that tells us. Historically, they will always tell you the book of Revelation was the last one written. I don't know, but I do know this. It's the last thing that Paul wrote. It's the last book that Paul wrote, and I believe that when he was finished, then he had met that responsibility that God had given him of fulfilling the Word of God. But look at this verse, verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. When's the last time you heard a message on that verse? You know, it's just one of those verses that we kind of glide over, but I see it as this, that I think is part of the drive of Paul. Three things that he mentions: cloak, and let me tell you, that's an old English spelling, because you look it up and you'll see the word C-L-O-A-K, but it all means the same thing, an outer garment. If you know, I'm sorry to admit this, but I've watched Star Wars movies, and if you watch any of those, and the outer garment, especially when they're about to have a fight with their lasers, they take that garment off. That's a cloak. Usually we'll have a hood, and it's designed to keep them warm, keep a person warm. That's a cloak. When I was in grade school, we had a cloak room. Did anyone else, you ever hear that term, cloak room? Because that's where you would hang up your coats. It was the cloak room. Well, here's Paul. He says, he's writing to Timothy. He says, bring that cloak. I need that. When we were at the hospital this past week to see our new grandson, when we left, we realized Damon had left his coat. Young kids don't notice that it's winter outside and it's cold for some reason. I don't know what that is. But he left his coat there, and so we sent a message, sent a text, that to bring his coat. And so later on, our daughter's husband brought his coat to the house. I thought, you know what he's saying? I need that. I need that coat. The other thing are the books, but especially the parchments. The parchment is what he was writing on. So we look to Paul and we say, it's important, the things that he's writing, because now I've got to read these things, and this was important to him. Now look at the context. If we say that this is the last thing that he wrote, these are going to be his last words, you go back to verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Well, isn't that happening today? They don't endure sound doctrine. We don't want to hear the doctrine. We want to feel good. We want to have a good time. And so they're looking for a place that they can go have the good time. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 11. You know, they say that as you get older, you kind of mellow out. I hope that's true. I don't know. But this guy, Mark, his full name, John Mark, do you know that it's because of that person that Paul and Barnabas split in Acts chapter 15? Because back in chapter 13, Mark had left. And Barnabas, in chapter 15, wanted to take Mark with them. And Paul said, absolutely not. He left us with the work. And it said the contention was so sharp between them that they split. And that's when Paul separated from Barnabas and took Silas, and Barnabas went another direction. Over this one guy, now Paul is saying, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's a man again, not bitter over this that it happened. He says, bring him. He's profitable. Verse 12, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander and the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. There are people who withstand the words of Paul. And so the warning, I think, is true for us. Beware. Be careful, because there are people that do not hold in the same regard as we hold the words of Paul. Verse 16, and my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Remember those words of William Newell, that throughout history, when men depart from Paul, what's the result? Heresy. Here Paul is saying, they all forsook me. He's standing alone. And we will find the same thing when we stand out there and we're saying, the word. You'll find these things. I wrote a book of experience on that and I sent them a thought I had written. And close friend, verse, good, I don't want to. Paul saying, I pray God that it may not be laid to their church. How difficult it is to say something like that. I say, nobleness. Verse was standing where stood with and strength, that be the preaching my own, the Gentile every work will preserve me unto his head, to whom forever ever end. And he still does. Salute Priscilla, the highness of abode Corinth. Do before when. 20 staff, bring that cloak, because you can't fool them of, and now they're coming. It's going to God, other than Ryan did. Today, and I'm sitting in my office at about 10 o'clock, I'm ready for my hoodie. I think I've put it on, I'm getting. Then bring that cloak. I need that cloak. I need it to keep me warm. And because all I can think about is if I've got something else, and to get myself So I'm thinking about this and Paul's and the expenses having at the end. And how a person speaks often are the most important. And this was true with book of godly. Paul's not in the scripture. What would it be like? I decided, okay, I'm alphabetized because it's important. So just alphabetize. You ever notice in credits of movies, the author, the reason is to so to one is more important. We will argue about having top billing in the movies. And that's billing. I have some. The fourth body, Paul said that. By adoption. In other words, Paul. Adoption. And you know about that, someone has missed. Where's a born? And this is what in a village is made. Eve was Christ. And that Eve dies to a body for her. Here's what he of Christ, how they are protecting that one part of the children's head. I told you, Andrew, true, you had sympathy. Dead. Talk all. Now, the fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. And not only that, Paul said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Peter, John, James, any of those guys talk about anything? No. No, they don't talk about it. Forgiven. Now, the others will talk forgiveness, but Paul, I think, always put it in the past tense. That we have been forgiven. And that's why we can forgive others, is because we have been forgiven. This next word is Gentiles. And someone says, oh, Gentiles, they're mentioned back in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all through the Old Testament. You read that word in the book of Genesis, in fact, Gentiles. And that's true. No one talked about the word Gentiles the way Paul talks about. Because another word that I didn't write down, but I realize this is part of it, is mystery. Because the mystery that Paul writes about is the mystery of the Gentiles, how they will be members of his body. That's not in the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks of Gentile salvation, yes. But how is that salvation accomplished? Through the nation of Israel. Paul's idea of the mystery and Gentile salvation is completely different. That they're all going to be made members of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ even said to his disciples while he was on the earth, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So someone says, well, see there, they knew mystery. Not this mystery. Not the mystery that Paul had. And in fact, and this is going to be a controversial statement, so just be forewarned. I'm not certain that Jesus Christ knew the mystery when he was on the earth. Because everything was just so directed toward Israel. Yes, he's the one that appeared to Paul after he was risen and appeared to Paul from heaven. And that's when this whole mystery program started. But I just kind of wonder about that. Did he fully know? Because he wasn't talking about this mystery. He even told those disciples, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to them. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The next thing, gifts of the Spirit. Wow. Who talked about gifts of the Spirit? Where do we go when we want to study gifts of the Spirit? We go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We go to Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. Who wrote all that? Paul. Absolutely amazing. Here's another one. Heavenly places. Who talked about heavenly places? We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. The others don't talk about that. How about this one? He's raised us up and made us sit together in those heavenly places. Who else talked about that? That he's raised us up? Paul. An incredible concept. That even now, I can't see it, can't touch it, but even now I am seated with him in the heavenly places. As far as God is concerned, my position with God is just that. I am with him in the heavenly places. Another one, saints. If it were not for Paul the Apostle, we would not know what a saint is. Because he's the one that defined the fact that believers are saints. Not special people designated by the church. It's all believers are saints, and apart from Paul the Apostle, we would not know that. And another phrase is sealed with the Spirit. Who else talked about the fact that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit? That the Spirit is given as the earnest of our inheritance. In some ways, a down payment that he has made. And he says, you've been sealed. That's an incredible thing, to be sealed by the Spirit. So when I look at the Bible, if I remove Paul, and apart from many think that at the end of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned and he looked up into heaven, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Because in the Old Testament it says he stands to judge, and many think that had it not been for the fact that the revelation of the mystery given to Paul, that the end would have happened then. That if you just forget about that, but take out all of the things referring to Paul, you'd have Acts chapters 1 through 8, and then in 9, starting with verse 32. Because you take out the verses that have to do with Paul. Then you can go to Acts chapter 10 through Acts chapter 11, verse 28. And then Acts chapter 12, 1 to 23. And then all of Paul's epistles. And the next place you would go, of course, would be Hebrews chapter 1 through the end of Revelation. And all of those things, the things that I just listed, those things would be gone. We would not have that information. So this is why we say that at Liberty Bible Church, our main distinctive is we follow Paul. And I've had people that tell me, well, no, look, you should be following Christ. And if there's a conflict between the words of Christ and the words of Paul, we're going to go with the words of Christ. I'm going to go with the words of Paul, because what did he say? Let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There's something different. It's a different dispensation now. In the way that God is working with man. Then they always come back and say, well, God said that he would never change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yep, absolutely. But it doesn't mean that his plan didn't change. And in fact, the very book that they take that from, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, is a book about so many changes, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book about change. So we can't say that. God doesn't change in his nature, but in the way that he has dealt with mankind, he's changed. And thank God. Think of William Newell and that hymn at Calvary. The words that he wrote there. Mercy there was great. And grace was free. It cost me nothing. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Pardon. You know, a pardon means, I recognize you're guilty, but it's paid for. All of those things done through Christ, and you know what? That information comes from Paul the Apostle. Without him, yes, I would understand Jesus Christ. Yes, I would understand his death on the cross. I would understand a lot of that, but without those words of Paul, so much of that would be missing. That's why we hold to Paul as a distinctive. Paul wrote, we read. Because Paul's task was to complete the scripture. And even someone like Peter recognized that Paul was the one with the message. And he directed his readers to Paul and called his writings scriptures. Let's pray.